Baptism weekend. Up to this point, we've had 240 people get in that pool to get baptized. 240 people. And it's an exciting day. And you know, I'm looking out there, and you guys, you look great today. Some of you, man, you look sharp. Some of the ladies look really, really fly and done up. And some of you in those nice, sharp clothes are going to get wet today. And I love it. I love it because you recognize that there is a power at work in your life. The name of that power is Jesus. And Jesus is changing people. And as people have done ever since the beginning of the movement of Jesus, today people are going to publicly declare that they have met Jesus. He is who he says he is. And they're surrendering their lives to him. They've already done it. This is just a celebration of what they've already done. Right now, we're going to celebrate something else that we get to do as a community, which is be generous. And so we're going to take up an offering in a few moments while we take a look at a video. And if you are new here, if maybe a friend invited you to drop off a box with them and you're just coming and checking this place out, just want you to know when the bags come, the offering bags, you can just let them pass you right on by. I don't want you to feel any pressure. I'm just excited you're here on a weekend where you get to hear the stories of people who've been impacted by Jesus in a fresh way. So I hope that's an encouragement to you. For those of us who call this place home, we're going to get encouraged because we know that it's generosity and pooling our resources together that create the infrastructure for these things to happen and also for us to be a blessing in our city and in the world. And so we're going to be doing that in a moment. And as we do so, we're going to watch a video because last week we started an experiment called Give Freedom. And it's really quickly becoming a movement of generosity and a movement of grace. If you weren't here last week to know what that is, take a look at this.
Our team started the Game Change campaign in 2010. Four bold initiatives, 3 years, investing in the next 30. We listened to what we thought God was asking us to do, and as a team, we collectively committed $51 million. But it was more than a fundraiser. It became a spiritual journey with the mission of giving freedom. Physical freedom, spiritual freedom, freedom from poverty, HIV, AIDS, and tuberculosis. And we've already seen incredible wins. 6 aftercare homes and counting for girls in India. Over 2,600 South African AIDS patients cared for each month. 600 clients served at CityLink. And 3 campuses in 3 years for people to hear about God in a language they can understand. This journey echoes the biggest act of freedom in the history of the world, the moment when Jesus bought our freedom with grace, unsolicited, unearned, unending grace. Jesus freed us, and he invites us to do the same. He said, "Freely you have received, freely give." But the journey toward freedom is a tough race. Game Change has been hard work, during the worst financial recession of our lifetimes. Some of us have already crossed the finish line. Some of us are so close we can taste it. Some of us are feeling guilt and shame, lost jobs, dwindled savings, unexpected circumstances. We've fallen behind, but no matter where we are, the call is the same. Freely receive, freely give. So let's end the race in the most game-changing way possible, rooted in the words of Jesus. By giving the gift of freedom, by extending grace, by helping someone else cross the finish line, by paying off a teammate's unfinished commitment. We started this race together, so let's cross the finish line together. We have the chance to give freedom and the chance to receive it. And when we do, freedom will multiply. More spiritual freedom, more physical freedom, more financial freedom. For impoverished Cincinnatians, for girls in India, for HIV patients in South Africa, and for us. Jesus gave us freedom. Let's receive and give the same.
So the site launched a week ago, and it is quickly becoming a movement in this place, a movement of grace. Here's the latest screenshot from the site. So at this point, over 800 gifts have been given to over 424 people. There are folks who are giving grace and people who are receiving grace as a result of what's happening. Up to this point, you've only been able to give through credit card. We are working on e-check, and so that'll soon be a way that you can also give and be a part of this movement of grace as we all cross the finish line together that many of us started 3 years ago. Now, one of the things that's interesting is I'm excited about the people who are jumping in for the Give Freedom movement who weren't here 3 years ago when Game Change started, and just how they're catching the vision and wanting to be a part of what God's doing in their midst. So one of the things we've done is as people have been giving gifts and receiving gifts, we've been able to reach out to them via email and just see what's God doing, what's stirring in them. And so one of the people who gave gifts, gave 17 gifts to help people finish off Game Change commitments. We reached out to this person in an email and just asked, what spiritually is happening in you? What was prompting you to make this step? And this is what we heard back from this guy. He said, hackers broke into my account. You can laugh at that. Just kidding, he said. We started attending regularly about a year or so ago and didn't get a chance to get in on Game Change. Always amazed at the great things Crossroads is accomplishing by pulling resources and mobilizing folks. And I would say that's what God is doing through Crossroads. We're not doing that in our own power. That's God working through this place. He said, and I saw the gift of freedom as an opportunity to jump in and help folks finish their race. An amazing concept. A program where people can jump in and pay off someone else's commitment. This concept alone was enough to draw me to the site. And then once I started clicking on folks' initials and their amounts, it was really hard to stop, knowing that with each click, I was able to set someone free, while at the same time contribute to the greater good of Game Change. Pretty awesome and a little addictive. Our family is very blessed. This was our opportunity to share those blessings with others. But with every click, I was also freed from my own money fears, not having enough, trusting God, etc. In the end, everyone wins. Us, the people we set free, and the people across the world who will receive the blessings of Game Change. Love that. Love that. Someone jumping in and being a part of this movement. You know, like we said, this is about us being able to bring freedom to people who are impoverished in our city, who are in sex trafficking in India, people who are in a hard way in South Africa. There's freedom happening at every level. I love how this person's realizing that part of the freedom is for me. We also were able to reach out to people who received gifts of freedom, and this is what we heard back from one woman. We were shocked by this blessing and actually weren't even aware of this Give Freedom option happening right now. I have a close friend that I met through a small group years ago. I had shared briefly with her that it really stressed me out that I had no idea how we were going to pull off our commitment. Originally, we thought we would take all of our equity from our house when it sold, and that would be what we would give. Plans didn't work out that way, and our home value isn't what we expected due to recession and housing prices not going back up, etc. Anyway, my friend has continued to pray for us, and she told me she had continually been prompted to pray for our finances. I wasn't going to stop her, even though I was surprised. Then on Sunday, we got the email from Crossroads that our commitment had been paid off. I was brought to tears and in shock. We are so grateful and in awe of how God answers prayers. Yet we have lots of amazing stories to share. This one just gets added to the list. We are hoping and praying that we will be able to pay off someone else's commitment. Who knows? When he is in charge, maybe more than one. So things are happening. And this movement of grace is growing. And I want you to know it's because grace is power. Grace is power. See, when Jesus comes and establishes the kingdom, it is a kingdom of power and it's fueled by grace. The reason this is happening is because people have experienced the power that Jesus brings when he offers them grace, and they're able to then turn away and give that to other people. There is a power that happens when you receive Jesus as King. And today, through baptism, people will be declaring that they have come under his authority and they are living in that power. And it is a beautiful display of what the kingdom is all about. So as we prepare for baptism, there's a movie that came out some years ago, and I just think this scene really sets a great theological framework, helps us understand the beauty of the declaration of baptism. So I wanted to share this with you. Let's take a look at this together.
I'm a little concerned right now about your salvation and stuff. How come you have not been baptized?
Because I never got around to it, okay? I don't know why you always have to be judging me. Because I only believe in science.
But tonight, We are going up against Satan's cavemen. And I just thought it would be a good idea if you... Felicidades.
So we thought about baptizing that way this weekend, but then we had other plans. We're not going to be smashing faces into bowls, but people will get in the waters of baptism and they will be baptized today. They will be. I love that. I love that clip. That never gets old for me. So about this time last year, I made a decision, and it was a decision that changed the trajectory of my life, and it certainly changed the trajectory of last year for me and coming into this year. And I was among the many thousands of people in our city who decided to be a part of a little thing called the Flying Pig Marathon. And I decided last year about this time to run 26.2 miles for absolutely no God-given reason at all. And one of the things I learned very quickly is that when you run a marathon, when you make that decision, you wind up making that decision like 1,000 times before you get to the starting line. Because you have fits and starts in your training and in your confidence. You know, I had days when I couldn't wait to run the race. And then I had days when I was hurting and I'm like, why did I decide to do this to myself? And all of those things in between. But there was one day in particular. It was the day that I actually went down and picked up my registration packet and got this. That all of a sudden, running this race got real concrete to me. Because now I have money on the line. And I knew I was going to show up. I had this bib, number 5029. I was going to run this race. And I'd love to tell you all about the journey to that point and the journey beyond that point. It's a story for another time. But I want to just draw a parallel between running a marathon and following Jesus as king. Because that's actually one of the ways the Bible describes what it means to follow Jesus as king. The book of Hebrews is a book in the New Testament of the Bible. It's quickly becoming my favorite book in the New Testament. There's just so much richness in this book. It was written to followers of Jesus, followers of this king, to encourage them to run after the king who had come and died and lives and now is giving them power to change the world. And at the end of the book, it says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith." Following Jesus as a king is a lot like answering his call to run a marathon. He calls you to run an endurance race. And not only are you answering his call to run, but you're also surrendering to him as a great coach and watching him train you and mature you and develop you and give you strength to actually run the race that is set before you. And not only that, the beautiful thing is you also get to see how he carries you across the finish line to victory as you run under the authority of Jesus as a king. So for the last 6 weeks in the Kingdom Come journey, we've been looking at Jesus as a king. And maybe for some of us, realizing Jesus is not quite the king that we expected. Maybe we thought that Jesus was a king who was interested in making our lives easier, that he was interested in comfort. But what we learned is Jesus is not a king who comes to make your life easier only, but he actually will make you uncomfortable because he's a king who brings adventure to your life. He's going to call you to do things, to be about things that are bigger than yourself. He's going to call you into areas of life, areas of influence, areas of impact that will change your life and will change the lives of people around you. And that is what it means to follow him as king. Maybe you thought Jesus was a king who comes in peace. I come in peace. But Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I actually came with a sword. Because Jesus recognizes that there is another kingdom. We've been calling it the kingdom of this world, a place that is anti-God, a place where there is selfishness, a place where there is not love, a place where greed abounds, a place where there is shame and condemnation. And Jesus said, I am coming against that kingdom. I'm coming against that kingdom in love, in self-sacrificial love that displays itself beautifully when he lays down his life on the cross for all of those who would come and receive relationship with him. Jesus is a king who doesn't come in peace. He actually comes in power. In fact, 1 Corinthians 4:20 puts it this way. It says, "For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power." Jesus is a king who comes in power. But not only that, we maybe thought that Jesus was a king who was willing to share the throne with other things that compete for first place in our lives. So maybe you thought Jesus was a king who was happy to be one of many gods that you serve. Maybe you thought that Jesus was a king who was fine if you put other things ahead of him and your relationship with him. But what we learned is Jesus is a king who does not share the throne. Jesus is a king who is looking for people who are all in. And baptism All of the time that has happened in the mission of Jesus and his church has been all about people declaring that they are all in for this king and for his kingdom. It's like getting your marathon bib. It's that day when you say, hey, I'm running this race. And today, many of you, you're going to get in the water and it's going to be this concrete moment where you say, yes, I am surrendered to Jesus and I'm making that public. I'm making that public today. So usually on a weekend, I'm talking to a broad range of people. I'm talking to folks who are maybe skeptical about Jesus. And there may be some people in here like that today. And I'm glad you're here. If you're skeptical of anything and everything you've heard me say and anything and everything you're going to see, what I hope is that what you experience is at least compelling and provocative enough for you to ask more questions. Because today you're going to see people who have counted the cost, smart people who have thought this through, people who have wrestled with this decision, making the choice to go public in their decision to surrender their life to Jesus. And I hope it encourages you, and I hope it really does provoke you to ask different questions about who Jesus might be and what he might be wanting to do in your life. Some of us, maybe we're on a journey, and maybe we had some questions that were answered, but we still have other questions, and you're just on a seeking journey. I'm just glad you're here too. I'm glad people are here who've been baptized a long time ago and get a chance to celebrate fruit and people coming into the kingdom, people joining us in this race. Wherever you are in the journey, today is going to be awesome. And there's going to be a place for you to play just to encourage people. But I want to talk specifically to some folks in here. You may not even know you're in this category until the end of this time, but some folks in here who Jesus has been working on you, and you have surrendered to him in a unique way. Maybe it started for you 6 weeks ago when you just said, I'll do this journey. I'll get in on weekend service and I'll hear about Jesus as a king. And I'll wrestle with what that means in a small group. 6 to 10 people get together and I'll kind of go with this. Maybe you did some experiments. Maybe you decided to do some of the love experiments. Like encourage someone, write a love letter to someone, or give away $10. Maybe you said, I'm going to try this obedience thing on for size. And I'm actually going to spend a week doing something that's beneath me, that Jesus calls me to do. Or maybe you decide, I'm going to bless a jerk. I'm going to be kind to somebody who isn't kind to me. I'm going to practice obedience. Maybe you decided to put on kingdom goggles and seek the kingdom. And maybe that looked like practicing patience all week long. That was probably the longest week of your life, I'm sure. Practicing patience all week long. Or extending forgiveness to someone who had hurt you maybe years ago. Maybe it's something you've been holding on to for a long time. Or actually going and asking for forgiveness for a way that you have offended another person. And as you sought and as you experimented, some of you found the king and you found this kingdom. Jesus has done something in your life that's undeniable, and there is a power that he's brought to your life that you know has only come from him. And we had a week where many of us wrote on glass globes all of the other things in our lives that would keep us from making Jesus first. All the other things we could follow, all the other things we could bend our life to, all the other things that we could worship or idolize. We wrote them all on a glass globe, and thousands of people, we had coffins all along the stage, and thousands of people came up, and they smashed those globes as a declaration that I am surrendering all of that to Jesus. Jesus is the only king that I'm going to follow. You know, some of you didn't smash your globe. Some of you kept it, and you really took it home, and you wrestled with it, and you counted the cost. And even last week, there were people who were still coming in and smashing globes and coffins, because you had counted the cost and you said, I'm ready. I'm ready to surrender to Jesus as king. We have a coffin today for some people who might even do that in the midst of this time. Today, we had somebody do that last service. They got baptized with their globe. They came out, smashed their globe on the stage. It was awesome. It was awesome. People are counting the cost. And people are making a decision to follow Jesus. And here's what I would say. We had a Twitter feed that came through the Kingdom Come journey. Some guys had took some time but was finally able to. And there's a picture of him with a smashed globe. People have been counting the cost for these 6 weeks, and people have surrendered and come to a place of saying, Jesus is my king. And here's what I would say. If that is you today, if you're a person who surrendered to Jesus in a fresh way over these 6 weeks or sometime in the last 6 years, but you have never been through the waters of baptism, you are going to get wet today. You are going to get wet today because that is the signal, that is the sign that has always been for every runner. I remember 4 years ago when I got in the water of baptism. As a pastor, I got baptized here. As a pastor, because when I was 8, I got baptized. I understood it as much as I could as an 8-year-old, but understanding the kingship of Jesus, I understood it way more 3-4 years ago, and I decided I'm doing this again. I'm doing this on my own volition as a declaration. I am surrendered to Jesus as king. And today, many of you are going to join me in that journey. Many of you are going to get your runner's bib and declare that you are in this race. And as you prepare to do that, I just have two encouragements for you from one runner to another. They come from the book of Romans in the Bible, another New Testament letter. And in Romans 6:3, it talks about baptism this way. It says, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Baptized into his death. Today, people are going to go under the water. And when they go under the water, it is symbolic of a real death that has happened in their life. It's the death to self. It's the death to anything that would lead their life other than Jesus. So when people go under the water, it is a symbol of a real death that has happened. And from one runner to another, I just want you to know, as you run this race with this king, this race will cost you everything. This race will cost you everything. How many people have ever run half marathon, marathon, triathlon? You see those hands up? Runners in the room, athletes in the room. Tell you what I know about those people whose hands are up right now. I know that on race day, something hurt, did it not? Something hurt. Very few people show up at the starting line without some injury. I have a friend, I don't know how she did this. She ran the marathon with plantar fasciitis. I don't know how she did that. She was hurt, but she ran the race. Something hurt. The other thing I know about every hand that was raised is when you were training, it consumed your whole life, did it not? It was what you ate for breakfast. It was what you ate for lunch. It was what you ate for dinner. It was your job when your real job wasn't happening. It consumed everything. In fact, my wife told me that I am officially banned from marathon running until our kids get older because it took way too much time. It consumes your life. And here's the thing. When you choose to run this race for this King Jesus, it's the same thing. It's going to cost you everything. So when you come up to get baptized today, I am inviting you to declare that you are cutting ties with everything else. When you get in the water today, it's a declaration that you are cutting ties with old fears. It's a declaration that you are cutting ties with the need to be safe, because he will call you to adventure and you won't always be safe. It's an invitation to cut ties with the need to control. It's an invitation to cut ties with shallow dreams, because the king has bigger dreams for you than you could even dream for yourself. It's an invitation to cut ties with shame, to cut ties with condemnation, to cut ties with anything that would keep you from the fullness of this king and the kingdom that he wants to have in operation in your life. This race will cost you everything. But let me tell you one other thing. From one runner to another. I love what Romans 6:4 says. The next verse says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Hey, I tell you something I'm really excited about. I'll give you a statistic. We've had 240 people go down in the water this weekend. And we have 100% success rate in all of them coming up out of the water afterwards. I'm really excited about that. Really excited about that. We've not lost anybody yet in the pool. Now, here's the thing. It's because baptism symbolizes a very real death that has happened, but you better believe it symbolizes a new birth. And here's what I want you to know. This race will cost you everything, and it is totally worth it. It is totally worth it to surrender to Jesus as king. It is totally worth it to be in this race, because Jesus is a king who brings real power. Everybody in here has something in their life that they've tried to change and have desperately tried and always failed. And I tell you what, Jesus is a king who brings power to change. Jesus is a king who has promises you can trust. There's a verse that didn't mean much to me when I was young. I would hear this in service in churches all the time, and people would sing songs about it. It didn't mean as much to me, but the longer I live, the longer I follow this king, the more that I see his faithfulness in my life and the lives of other people in the kingdom. This verse is just true. Psalm 37:25 says, "I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread." Boy, I tell you what, following Jesus is not easy. It's not comfortable, but he never fails. He's always faithful. And I can tell you, I know people who are running after the king who are suffering. They have sickness. I know people who are running after the king who have difficult times, but I have never seen them forsaken. Never seen the king forsake them. He has promises that you can trust. And one of those promises is a hope that goes beyond this life. Jesus didn't come just to establish a kingdom that makes this earth a nirvana. Jesus said, "I'm starting a movement that's going to lead to a new heaven and a new earth." Jesus is actually returning as king, and when he does, he's going to usher in a whole new heaven and a whole new earth. It's for this life and the life to come that it is totally worth it to follow Jesus because he gives real hope, hope that will last. And I'll tell you what, it's totally worth it, totally worth it. The last 6.2 miles of the marathon for me was the hardest hour of my life. Everything hurt. Everything hurt. Every step was a decision not to quit. Everything was sore. Everything was hurting. And I was just, I just was trying to like just close the gap. But man, it was the longest hour of my life. But I tell you what, I remember what happened when the finish line came in view for me. And it was a powerful experience in my life. And then I was really fortunate. My brother was there. I saw my wife and my kids, they were there. My brother was able to capture it on video for me. And so I want you guys to see what happened as I crossed the finish line.
Here he comes.
He wants you, Nathan. Go, ahead, go, go. Nathan, go. Good job, Chuck. Good job, Chuck. Good job, Chuck. Certainly. Sorry.
My brother almost got arrested for that footage, as you can see. Man, everything was hurting. I was like, man, just get this race over. And then I saw my family. And I saw my little guy, Nathan, 5 years old. And I just saw this look on his face. And I just, in the moment, it just came to me to just gesture to him. Just gesture to him to come. I saw him run and sprint. And I got to cross the finish line with my son. And I tell you what, every bit of pain, every long run, all of the aches, all of the icing, all of the stretching, everything I had to do to get to that point was totally worth it to run across the finish line with my son. It was totally worth it. To have that moment with him, to have that memory with him, it was totally worth it. But here's the deal. The flying pig has come and gone. May happened, May was awesome, but it is November now. But the people who get in this pool today are running a bigger race with bigger stakes, and there is an eternal prize that awaits everyone who jumps in this pool today declaring that they are part of the kingdom of God. See, here's the thing. This bib tells you I'm a runner. I am a runner, but here's the deal. Everybody who gets baptized today, it's a declaration that you are in the kingdom. And it's totally worth it. Some of you are going to get your bib today. Some of you, you've been running this race. Some of you, you made a choice to surrender to Jesus as king. And today is your day to declare that you are running this race for this king because it will cost you everything, but it is totally worth it. Totally worth it. God, right now, as we prepare to experience baptism, for some of us, you're going to call us to get out of our seats because we hear your voice, because we're surrendered to Jesus, and Jesus, you're our leader. You're a king who leads. You're also a shepherd. You're also a loving friend, and you're going to call us to this today, and I am excited. I am excited for every person who will hear that call, that they would respond to it. In fact, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the power that is available from the king would be on every citizen of the kingdom right now. And that if there is a citizen of the kingdom who has never been baptized, that the power of your spirit would move them to declare today that they are all in for you. In Jesus' name, amen. It doesn't get any better than this for me. This is an exciting day. I am so glad that all of you are here. Some of us, we're gonna get in the pool. Some of us, it's time. And if that's you, what I want you to do is right now at every level, start to make your way down to the first level. And when you get to the first level, you want to kind of end up in this aisle right here. There's a sign that says baptism start here. And we have volunteers that will meet you there. And like I said, we got you covered. You guys look good today. But I tell you what, we've got plain t-shirts for you. We've got plastic bags for your belongings. Don't let that be the reason you don't get your runner's bib today. Get in that pool. Don't let that be the reason not to. For others of us, today is not the day for us. Maybe you're here and you're just checking things out for the first time. You're maybe at the beginning of a journey that might end here, but it's not your time yet. Well, here's what I want you to do. Every time you see somebody go under the water, I want you to imagine that there's a starting gun going off because these people are starting a race. They've started a race, and they're declaring that they're in the race. And it's a hard race, but they're running for a good king, and they will reach the finish line. For others of us, maybe we were baptized as a child. Maybe we were baptized as an infant, and we wrestle with, should we do this again? Well, I told you my story. I would say it's your choice. It's your choice. If the Spirit's prompting you to get baptized, do it. But don't do it out of guilt. No need to do that out of guilt. Others of us, you were baptized as an adult. And you might be wondering, oh man, maybe I'm at a different place. Do I get baptized again? Hey, if you were baptized as an adult, I promise you as a pastor, it took the first time. You do not have to get baptized again. Maybe you've had a rough year. Maybe you've had some struggles in your faith. Here's what I would say. This is the best analogy I know, a wedding ring. I have this wedding ring on because I am married to my wife. Now, some days we have distance. Some days we have arguments, but the beautiful thing is we're always married. And so that's the way it is in a relationship with Jesus. Others of you, your parents, and you're wondering, oh man, is this the time for my child? If it's your child's choice, if your child understands what it means to surrender to Jesus as King, we're glad to baptize him today. That's exciting. But don't rush and get them out of kids club and rush them over here if it's not their decision. We want this to be something that is their decision. So parents, I would encourage you, if your kid's in kids club, leave them there. There'll be other times. But I want to encourage you today, all of you who are prompted by the Spirit, to move and get baptized. It's going to be great. Others of us, as we sit back, we get to celebrate. Greg and I are going to be capturing stories. You're going to get a sense of what God's been doing in the lives of people who are running this race into his kingdom. It's going to be a great time. Let's get started.